It seems that the elites have drawn a breath of relief. Even though Brexit did take place, Dutch elections did not yield any unnecessary surprises, and Angela Merkel's chances are now looking good in Germany come September. And France, well, France, delivered as promised by selecting Emmanuel Macron. I'm Nick Blake, and today we take on A Vive la France.
Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way?
We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The they shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean a f***ing thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on election day, I'm in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with. So I know that a little later on this year you're going to have another one of those really swell presidential elections that you like so much. You'll enjoy yourselves. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure as soon as the election is over, your country will improve immediately. As for me, I'll be home on that day doing essentially the same thing as you. The only difference is when I get finished masturbating, I'm going to have a little something to show for it, folks.
That was George Carlin illuminating us on the fact that elections are essentially a charade in the United States. And if that is the case in the fairest of all democracies the light has ever seen, then what can be said about the lesser comrades and compadres of the great old Stars and Stripes? Sure, pundits will argue that the second round of French presidential elections has been a rough patch, but you know, the storm is over now and we can all sit back and relax. But the work and time invested in pushing the Macron project has left many still standing in awe. Virtually 6 months ago, nobody had a clue who he was, where he came from, etc. Come May, and a thorough job by the mainstream media, which is another clue, by the way, with constant bombardment about the great young hope. It looks as if a similar situation has arisen on the election pedestal as in the United States. Trump and Hillary were essentially Le Pen and Macron in reverse. But whereas Americans had actually the guts to choose the more seemingly crazy persona, the French shunned the daughter of another crazy who attempted to get to the top post 15 years prior. Instead, they jumped on the Macron train just like Macron jumped on the cougar train when he decided to marry his high school sweetheart, but not the sweetheart he sat next to in class, the sweetheart he took homework from. That's right, if it's not a red flag that the 39-year-old had been dating a woman a quarter of a century his senior since he was 15 while she was his teacher, then I don't know what is. Sure, love is blind, yada yada, but when it comes to love of money, Macron has an ample supply of it, being the Minister of Finance and an investment banker and all. To get a better sense of what is the Macron phenomenon, we turn to Professor of European Politics at the Institute of Political Studies in Lyon, Alistair Cole.
I think the Macron won by a larger margin than the polls were saying. Clearly, in a way, it's a two-thirds, one-third split of those who expressed a preference. One has to remember, of course, that the abstention rate, 25%, was high, and there were almost 10% of spoiled ballots. So that's somewhat of a downside. But on the other hand, he's got a clear mandate. He's a young, dynamic leader. And clearly, this is a, you know, this is a new leader coming at the head of a pretty much an unknown force. And I think in the second part of your question, one thing we do know about Macron is that he's explicitly pro-European. So I think in theory, Macron will be looking for a closer Franco-German relationship. Whether that's possible or not is actually another question, but that's certainly what he'll be steering for. Macron's objectives will be difficult to realize. I think he has to move quickly from his perspective. And he said that he will use the decree procedure to introduce a labor reform very, very quickly. And I think in a way he has to try and do that. Because if he gets bogged down, if he doesn't have a powerful majority, it's going to be very difficult, of course, to have the basic political capacity to push through these reforms. Many on the left of French politics, particularly many of those people who voted for Monsieur Mélenchon, have said straight away that although they were pleased that Marine Le Pen wasn't elected, they will robustly oppose attempts to cut the number of public servants, to bring down the debt in those proportions. And so I think there could be a hot autumn in prospect, whatever the results really of the parliamentary election. It's going to be difficult to ensure the success of those commitments.
That was Alistair Cole describing how Macron should move fast to ride the wave of euphoria his election has generated by defeating Le Pen. I'm sure he will, too. His buddies from Rothschild banking cartels are not the ones to sit around and do nothing, especially when it comes down to pushing for the neocon agenda, such as pan-globalism, for example. Sure, there's going to be that labor reform that everyone seems to be talking about as soon as you bring up Macron, but we're still a long while away from the actual legislation and then implementation and then analysis of results. So what we do have at hand is the drive to be buddy-buddy with Germany, mostly everybody else who Germany deems to be worthwhile as well. Perhaps Macron was an easier choice for the majority of the French because, well, let's face it, with Le Pen, people would actually have to get out of bed. Here's Dylan Moran to elaborate.
But that entirely plugged into this image of the weak, sensual, pleasure-loving French, you know, not going to war because they're all still in bed at 2 p.m. with the sheets coiled about their knees, lying there, scratching themselves, smoking a Gauloise inside a jetain, sweating Nice sans serre, before one of them sloughs off the sheets to pad around the kitchen naked. No, not naked, naked from the waist down, to emphasize their nakedity. Picking up yesterday's croissant crumbs with their sweaty feet. Slashing yesterday's paintings. What was I thinking? It's f***ing rubbish! My God! I can't believe it. It's up. I ate my paintings. I ate them! I ate your paintings too! You ate my paintings! No, I hate them! Why do we have to talk f***ing English? Your work is so derivative! Because you copy mine, and mine is s*** to begin with! I'm so bored in this atelier! Stop it! Stop slashing things! Get something for breakfast, I'm starving! There's nothing, we have nothing, we're poor! Let's make love again instead of eating! No, the things you do to me. I am so sore. Even my toenails. Leave me alone. Come on, you know you want it.
That was Dylan Moran describing what he perceives as the majority of the French. Not surprising, I guess, when it comes down to stereotyping one of the proudest European nations. But where does this proudness come from? Lee Mack. Thanks. It's the language.
You can't win with the French. I went to a French restaurant recently and I thought, I'll make the effort, you know, I'll order in French. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. My dad taught me that just before he was jailed in Italy for killing 20,000 Christians. This waiter came in, right? And I was trying to order the egg custard. And I said, have you got le crème d'œuf? And this waiter went, it's not le crème d'œuf. It's la crème d'œuf. Is feminine. I said, it's not feminine, is it? It's an egg custard. What do I need to know the sex of an egg custard for? I want to eat it. Not f*** it. Excuse the French.
That was Lee Mack allowing us to enjoy the little victory we've all experienced when learning a foreign language, especially French. Language or no language, however, Macron is now the president of France, and I'm sure things will be exclusively great from now on for the French and the rest of Europe. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.